Intervju Radija Študent.
Intervju z Marijo Gracia Goja. Poslušali bomo intervju z Marijo Gracia Goja, ki bo nocoj v Ljubljani predstavila svoj diplomski film Morje pozdravljeno. Projekcija filma bo v Balasijevem inštitutu ob 19. Marija Gracia Goja je filmska ustvarjalka in fotografinja iz Ekvadorja. Kot režiserka in kamermanka je posnela več dokumentarnih filmov v Ekvadorju in v Evropi, ki so bili predvajani na različnih mednarodnih festivalih. Njen zadnji dokumentarec Morje pozdravljeno iz leta 2015 je bil lani premierno prikazan na E-Doc v Ekvadorju, na Doc Lisboa in na mednarodnem filmskem festivalu v Budimpešti. Marija je sprva končala študij fotografije na ICP v New Yorku, diplomirala iz vizualnih komunikacij. Nato je pred 2 leti končala še magistrski študij režije dokumentarnega filma Doc Nomads. Trenutno ustvarja med Evropo in Latinsko Ameriko.
Hey. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
So, welcome to Slovenia, welcome to Ljubljana.
Thank you.
So tomorrow we will watch your film Hello Sea, which is your diploma film that you made in Budapest, right? 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about the process of making this film in Budapest?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. You've been a great host. Hello Sea, it's a film that I did under this diploma, on a master's degree that is called Doc Nomads. And it's a 24-minute short film, a documentary short film, about the sea in Hungary. And we had around 6 months to make this film. And I was living in Hungary before, and I was always thinking about how these people live without the sea. I'm from the coastline in Ecuador, like around this area, and I was always thinking like how people live without the sea, and this was my main like motivation, like to kind of to approach this topic, to discover. And I knew that a lot of things were going to, from something so subtle and so insignificant,
mm-hmm.
or intangible, you can maybe have conversations about culture and cultural backgrounds, politics, history, etc.
And you decided to film this film with the 16 millimeter film camera, and it was your first time, right, using this kind of camera?
Yeah, it was the first time that I was using a film like in motion pictures at all, and I thought that I'm coming from analog photography, so I thought that this was time for me to, like, it made sense to jump from that to analog film in motion pictures. So I just really wanted to try. Also, I knew that in the school they had the equipment and they have some cinematographers that were interested in shooting films, so I thought that this was a great idea.
About 16mm camera, it's quite a small camera, and is it hard to be stable if you have a handheld camera?
The way we shot it was like you have this option in 16 where you could use like these Bolex, smaller cameras that can be handheld. But you can also use these bigger cameras like the Arriflex.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually shooting with an Arri.
The big one?
Yeah, a really big one. Actually, inconveniently big and noisy. And this was the one that the school had. And it was actually a quite good camera that the students, the cinematography students, use it for practicing and stuff. So, mm-hmm. I went for this one. And it was also a good experience because previously in the program we were working as like a one-man band where the filmmaker is also sound recorded sometimes, and also sometimes cinematographer, or you were working with some with just one more person that does sound or image. But in this case, I had to come with a cinematographer, which had his own assistant, and then of course a sound recordist, and then a translator, and a producer.
Mm-hmm.
A film producer, yeah.
So you could focus on directing only. You were not holding a camera or a sound.
Yeah.
Mm. And you had the Hungarian team?
Yeah, actually, the whole team was Hungarian, but one of the girls that helped me in the production is Ecuadorian, and she's also a Dub Nomad colleague, which at that time already finished the master's, and she was in Hungary. So I asked her to help me a little bit with the film, about logistics and production things that were a little bit hard to manage by myself.
Mm-hmm. And locations were all in the city of Budapest or just so?
There's some locations in Budapest, and then the other locations in a town called Tard, around 150 kilometers from Budapest. And that's it, only these two locations. Mm. Yeah.
What did you learn with this film camera, and what do you think about the result in terms of aesthetics?
At the beginning, I really just wanted to try to shoot on film, but then when I was thinking about it, then it made even more sense because of the topic of the film, which is about something very abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the film material will give some kind of tangibility to this topic that is
abstract.
Yeah, abstract and intangible in every way. Mm-hmm. So I also wanted to work a lot with the memory and with senses, and I thought that the film and the film texture will add a great deal to these aesthetics. And somehow I think that it turned out this way. Also, the film, the uses of film really determined a lot of things in the film. Like, I only had 60 minutes to shoot. Like, 60...
60 minutes.
Raw film, I only had 60 minutes. So it is very hard to shoot only 60 minutes. You always just trying things. But in my case, it helped me to really think about what I wanted and what I needed, and to be more organized. And also, in the sense that I'm working with some kind of interviews with the people that appear in the film, and interviews are always like a try and error thing. So that was my biggest stress and fear while making this film, because I only had one shot to do this. But somehow it became a strategy to have all this, just this time to think about was going to make this interview, and I was trying to provoke the people with some elements that if you go to see the film, you can find out what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of provocation, so we can have like a longer shot and see what the people like. My idea was to get to know the imaginary that people had about the sea. And
so you were provoking with some objects that were making them remember some things from
remember
the past.
Or imagine, some objects that are connected or remotely connected to the sea. Yeah.
And how long was the whole process of the shooting? And maybe in regard of the whole process of the film idea building?
Well, I was... So we had like around 6 months, like one semester, to make this film, right? But then at the beginning, I wanted to make the film about the sea, like, or to kind of research about this topic. But then I thought, I mean, this is not going to be a good idea. I have no clue how to make this. So I kind of pushed it a little bit, and I was working with other things. So I think that maybe I started working on this film idea around 3 months before the deadline. And then I had some people in mind that I already met in Hungary, and I was searching for other characters. So basically that was the hardest thing that I really had to meet with the people and talk with them and get to know them and establish a connection before going with this film crew and with this big camera to shoot them and record them. Shoot them sounds so weird, but to record them. And the film in total, the days of filming were very short and were about 5 days.
Altogether?
Yeah, altogether, yeah. Because I didn't have much raw material, as I said. So it was just very specific. Yeah.
And did you send, this film later to some festivals?
Yeah, the film was screened in some festivals in Ecuador and also abroad. It was screened in Doc Lisboa, in a very important film festival we have in Ecuador that is called Encuentros del Otro Cine, short for DOC. The long for a DOC. And it was also in the Ecuadorian Cinema Week in Paris last autumn, and it had some screenings in Romania and also in Budapest in a documentary film festival.
And now in Ljubljana.
And now in Ljubljana,
in
yeah.
Balassi Institute.
Yeah.
So let's go from the past to the present. So now you lived for a while in Denmark after graduation.
Yeah.
And how does it look like with your film career now after master? What do you have, some projects that are going on?
Yeah. It kind of took me a long time. I mean, let's say 1 year and a half, around 1 year and a half after I finished film school to figure out what I wanted to do. And my first idea always was to go back to Ecuador and start a research. I already had an idea, but then I wanted to research with another project with Robin Petre, which is the other director, is going to present her film here in the Balassi Institute. So our idea was to go together to Ecuador and start a research and most likely to shoot something and come back with some material and look at it and start looking for some producers that could be interested in the film. So this is what is happening right now in this moment. I went to Ecuador in December last year and I stayed until mid-April, and among other things we started this research to different regions in Ecuador. One region in the coastline where I had an idea that I wanted to explore, and then we also went to the Amazon jungle with Robin to start researching about some things that are happening there regarding some indigenous communities and the relationship with nature and the relationship with the politics and etc.
So, regarding indigenous people, do you mean this film would be more like ethnographic?
Not necessarily, but could be. I mean, considered as an ethnographic piece, but that's not our focus. We are more focused on making creative documentaries where you are using reality to say, or like exploring reality in order to reflect about society, about politics, and in a very underscale, right? Because we're not so political, but mostly we're interested in creating like poetic documentaries.
But what was the thing that struck you to have the desire to make this film in the jungle?
Well, both of us, Robin and I, were very interested in human-nature relationships. So we heard about something that was happening in the Amazon jungle about an indigenous community having been left out of their land, and there was some kind of invasion with the military, and they destroyed their houses because now apparently private company bought this area to build an open air copper mining mine. Yeah, that was kind of what was happening in Ecuador last year, and it resonate this same struggle and the same news resonate along the whole year until around February, and so we were there in February, and we were just very curious about what was happening in a more, kind of news and journalistic level, but more human nature relationship level. So we decided to go there and see from our own eyes what was happening, and to see if there's potential to make a film. And we started shooting something in this community.
And so you work together as like one is a camera and one is a sound?
Well, we both do camera work. I'm not so good with the sound. Robin is much better at that than me. But the first thing is that we were both co-directing, but we took turns on shooting. But now we are... So after this, Robin came back to Europe, and she went to Holland, and she was part of a workshop where she met a young producer, and they seem to be interested in working with us as producers. They're from Holland. And this is very, very early. Very early, but we are working on this. We're having meetings on Skype, and we're just trying to figure out, okay, we know that the next step is to go back to Ecuador. Now we're doing a lot of writing about the film and everything, and also maybe cutting a short teaser with what we shot there, so we can start asking for funding. And
were you thinking to also find an Ecuadorian producer?
Yeah.
How is it there with the support for filmmakers?
Yeah, we have a local fund, like a governmental fund. I'm honestly just starting to explore this in Ecuador, but I know, yeah, there is films being produced every year, so I know there are, of course, I know also I met producers and filmmakers, so we absolutely need to have a producer in Ecuador in order to have this European Ecuadorian production. So yeah, we're also in conversations with some potential people that can help us with this, and this is kind of like the next step for us to go from producing films ourselves in the frame, under the frame of a master, to being a little bit more into the out in the world, being more professional.
So probably the next year, if you will be lucky with producers, you will be filming in Ecuador.
Yeah, actually we really want to go this year, like very soon, like because things are happening right now, and we feel like this is something that we should continue doing like as soon as possible. So hopefully we can come back maybe soon after the summer ends and continue shooting maybe for a month with a crew. Yeah.
So you recommended us a music to put under the interview by Pablo Malaurie.
Malaurie.
From Argentina.
Yes.
And you said you have put one of his songs in one of your films.
Yeah.
And my question is, like, what do you think, or how do you use music in your documentaries? What role does it have, or can music inspire your editing, or how do you, you know, what is the role of the music in your films?
Actually, I haven't used much music on my films, and I'm not thinking about it so much. I actually always thinking about silence much more than music. I don't know why. I feel like I'm really into silence in films, and I think that you can very like convey some kind of thing that that you can get into the headspace of the character somehow through this silence. And also I use a lot of shots with nature. I'm very visual. So, but this guy that we were listening to, Pablo Malori, he's from Argentina, and I used the only time that I used music in a film was one of his songs, and it was towards the end because I thought that the character that I was shooting, this is a film that I also shot in Hungary, and it's about a shepherd mother. She has four kids, and two of them have some kind of a special. They need special care because one of them is autistic and the other one is deaf. So she's a very strong woman, and she's in a very hard and physical routine, you know. And it was very hard for me to get some emotion out of her in the whole film. So she's very, very strong, and I really admire that. But I also know that she has some vulnerable side, and I was trying to see this as a reflection in the nature. So the film has a lot of shots in the nature as well. And I think that also with the music, I was trying to kind of give some kind of relief from this feeling that she was trapped in this very hard routine. And I used this song, and maybe you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. How did you find documentary filmmaking?
I was very curious about film since I was very young, but there was no alternative at home, like where I grew up. There was no film school. I think there was just one private film school in the capital, but I think it was kind of expensive, so it was not an option. And so I left this behind, but then I was very interested in audiovisuals, and I studied something related to this, like visual communication. And after a while, I started being interested in photography. So through photography, I got to know about documentary photography. And then soon after, about documentary films. So that's how I basically got to know about documentary films. There's also a very interesting festival happening in Ecuador every year since I think maybe around 15 years or so, that I mentioned before. And I was also going there every year, and it was a very big inspiration for me to know more about all the kinds of documentaries, not like this journalistic, very serious documentary, but the ones that go more towards the cinematic, more artistic, poetic side of films. Mm. Yeah.
And we invite everybody to join us at the projection in Balashi this evening.
Okay. We invite you to come and watch these two films,
films.
Robin and Maria, that now they're working together, but they have these two films, and etc.
Thank you for the interview. And now,
thank you, Simona.
And we invite everybody to come this evening to see Maria's film and also Robin's film, which are both very interesting documentaries.
Z Mario Gagoja se je pogovarjala Simona Jarala.
Intervju Radija Študent.